The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Now, speaking of podcasting and what have you, they're talking about it in the chat room, and of course we're kind of doing it. Jake, you finally have released your ebook this past week.
Yes, Podcasting Starter Kit is now available at tutorials.lockernome.com. Or if you go to the chrisperilloshow.com, there's a link to it on the right-hand side of the page, I believe. And it is titled as being for Windows XP at this point because all of the screenshots are Windows-centric. And even though the main recording software that it covers is Audacity, which is very much cross-platform, I didn't want to have like Mac users download the software and say, hey, these screenshots are Windows. So I just fairly clearly like made it a Windows only guide. There, hopefully, within the next week to 2 weeks, I'm going to release a Mac OS X version as well, because there are some subtle differences in the way that the audio setups work on OS X, and so there are some configuration issues that I didn't deal with in this particular guide. But if you use Windows, by all means, it's like I think there's about 90 pages of material there.
And how much
is it? It is $20. Although, if you go to the tutorial store and purchase both the podcast starter kit and Chris Perillo's Blog Traffic School together and use the coupon code BLOGCAST, BLOGCAST, you can get 25% off the total purchase price.
That's pretty good.
And that's good till Monday, May 23rd. So if you happen to be listening to this in the archive version, sorry to disappoint you if you're listening to it sometime after May 23rd.
And you're going
to
be using my iMac to take the Mac screenshots?
Most likely, yes.
You going to do a Linux version too?
I haven't decided if I'm going to do a Linux version or not, because then I have to do Linux and do it in both KDE and GNOME.
Oh,
and so then it starts to get a little convoluted.
Just a little sticky. So no, like, podcasting for OS 9 people if they still haven't?
You know, if you're still using OS 9, I kind of feel the same way about you as if you were still using Windows 98.
Yeah.
Update.
Yeah. No, Brent, let me ask you this. Are there any news aggregators for OS 9 that you know of?
I think Radio Userland runs on OS 9.
Or is it System 9?
Version. Or, yeah, OS 9, I guess.
I think the first version I installed for it ran in compatibility mode when I first got my iBook back in 2001. Mm-hmm. I could be mistaken about that.
No, you're probably right, yeah.
And, of course, there's no development going on for OS 9 anymore.
I hope not. Something would be rather misguided.
And in some ways, that was probably one of the, in my opinion, one of the smart things that Apple did was, and I know it made some people mad initially, was they drew a line in the sand and said, hey, we're starting over with a clean slate on this operating system. And there are probably many people who wished that Microsoft would do the same thing with Windows, because you would lose a lot of the garbage that has been carried over from as far back as MS-DOS.
Legacy code. Right. Have you had any people wishing that you would make it more backwards compatible?
That would run on OS 9,
yeah,
for instance. We've had a few people asking, you know,
crazy,
if there is a version.
Crazy people?
I don't know. Just
you make
that
a OS 9 version because my cat likes OS 9 and he's not compatible with Coco. But that's his name is Coco.
Sorry, that was my best impression.
That was you who sent us that email. Oh, okay.
I didn't realize it was that transparent. I got to do a better job at impersonating myself at some point in the future.
When you send an audio email, it gives it away.
It really, yeah, absolutely. I know. I got to stay away from doing that too. I want to make sure we made mention of the fact that you had done this and released this podcasting ebook this past week. And then apparently we're in, you and I, our picture that we took here in the studio.
Quote and a lovely here. Studio that it yeah. is.
Air quotes, nothing on the walls, DVDs aplenty. And
hey, but we got lots of hardware.
Yes, we have more hardware now than we did before.
And of course we have live calls coming next week.
In theory, we've got the equipment right here. Kid you not, we've been joking, we've been saying this like literally for months, like we're going to be taking live calls
since
next
December.
Week. And it hasn't happened yet. Or it did kind of, but the voice over IP solution just did not work. Mm-hmm. So we actually went with hardware, and we're getting the phone lines now plugged up, and I mean they're going to get unplugged or
whatever
plugged
they do
into
to phone
whatever
lines,
it is. Yeah. And then we've got a toll free number. We're gonna have a toll free number.
Toll free number.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's like makes us official.
Well, it costs us money, just not the caller.
Yeah,
right, sure.
The caller, it's free, but mm-hmm. for us, it can be a little pricey, but. I'm not going to announce the number yet because number one, it's not going anywhere. Number two, I want to make sure we have it locked up. But it's a good one. It, that's for sure.
It's memorable.
Yes, of course. And so this is, of course, for the Chris Perillo show. We're talking about live calls and the whole, of course, the podcast thing is still going to be happening. And speaking of podcasts and ebooks and podcasts specifically, NetNewsWire 2.0 now has support for podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the big requests we got really starting last fall,
yeah,
you know, and just people said, you got to do it. And I'm like, really? You could write a script or something. They're like, no, you got to put it in there. I don't want to use a script. I want it to just work.
So you,
finally I said, yeah, okay, it makes sense.
You're a developer who just, you wait until things kind of flush out or become, I guess, gain enough critical mass for you to move on them, or?
Well, we usually don't spend a lot of time on features that nobody wants. And we do tend to spend time on features that people are asking for.
Now, I can't remember, did NetNewsWire support enclosures prior to this release?
It did not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you're supporting enclosures across the board, then,
yeah,
obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Any issues with that so far?
Just that people really like it.
They love it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That doesn't seem like a problem.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, it's an issue, not a problem, though.
Are they abandoning other podcasting apps in favor for NetNewsWire's podcasting app?
I've heard from some people who are. Other people are quite happy running two different apps. They really see it as two different things, even though one they're both coming from RSS. They still, you know, they get their radio here and their text here.
See, to me, the advantage of having it integrated into, say, NetNewsWire or on my Windows machine, I am like trending towards using FeedDemon more than NewsGator at this point. But
well, it's the same thing.
Yeah, right? now they're one and the same. Sure.
It is the same thing now. But I mean, the advantage I see is in a lot of cases, the people that are doing podcasting are the feed is their text feed, and they're putting the audio enclosure in the same feed.
Sure, yeah.
And so for me to have to subscribe to the same thing twice seems kind of silly.
Sure.
And it's a lot more convenient for me to be able to say subscribe in NetNewsWire and then just pipeline all of that over through iTunes and into mm-hmm. my iPod and go on my way than it is to have to have a second app running and to handle all of the download side when really that's not, I mean, that should just sort of be ancillary to the process.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, Brent, your commute is just hellish every day.
It's terrible. I have to go downstairs. And there's Sheila, there's the cat, and there's frequently a bottleneck.
So they get in your way.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I get in their way.
Which is more of a bottleneck than Sheila or the cat?
The cat, really, because he's got sharper teeth.
Okay, good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Yeah, I say this because Sheila is now sitting behind you. I don't know if you knew this, you know, but she snuck in when we were eating pizza, and you're on candid camera. Woo! but it's do you have a chance? And the reason why I ask about the commute is asking you. That's my cat, who sounds a lot like a dog. It's because
it's
a dog.
But it's the size of a cat.
Yes, it is. And the cat could probably eat this dog or the series of dogs that I have in the other room, the subroutines. Do you have a chance to listen to podcasts?
I don't have a commute, I don't have the same chance as other people do. What I usually do is just kind of sample different ones, you know. Someone tells me about one that sounds intriguing, I'll just go download it and listen to it. There aren't any that I found yet that I'm listening to regularly over and over, other than, of course, the Chris Perillo show.
I don't even listen to this show, so it doesn't. That, trust me, flattery will get you nowhere.
So have you listened to
it? I didn't even know the show existed.
There's a sci-fi serial. There's a sci-fi serial. I can't think of the name of it. It's part of
that's right,
Mick
Sci-Fi
and Cam's. No, Mick and Cam. Who do G'day World podcast, part of their network, which I can't think of. Podcast Network, is that the name of it?
Very simple.
They have a like a radio serial style podcast that's a sci-fi, and I can't the name of the show starts with a C, and I'm drawing a complete blank on what the actual name is, But it's a really good show. So, and I know you'd mentioned the sci-fi, being a sci-fi fan. So that might be something you actually would tune into. And I think that it only runs for like maybe each little installment is only like 10 or 15 minutes. So it's not like a massive time investment.
It's a serial. I think I may have heard that too. Someone may have sent me the link to that.
It's good.
Yeah.
So. I found myself being consistently wanting to listen to it because it's good.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
I mean, it's definitely, it's a drama. I mean, the people are actually like, you know, doing like voice acting. Through the whole thing, so it's really cool.
That's very interesting. So, and speaking of Mick Stanek, he's coming to Gnomedex too. He's flying up from Australia. There's quite a few people that I don't know if you've had a chance to meet face to face. Have you met? I mean, having worked for Userland Software, have you met Dave Weiner yet?
Oh, certainly, yeah, absolutely. I would go down to California and spend a week or two at a time, a couple times a year.
God, that had been so hard, California.
Yeah, it was tough. Woodside, you know.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, San Francisco area is somewhat similar to here.
No, it's very similar. Although Seattle is much more affordable.
There's no urine smell here, but
yeah, which I kind of miss. At times.
Really?
No, I've got the Liz Taylor thing, so I've got the scent. Anytime I just spray it on lucky. And I'm good to go. Yeah, it's called San Francisco. It's very French that way. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole bodily. Wait. You know, stench that come.
Absolument.
So anyway, because I don't speak French, so I don't know what you just said.
Oh, okay. I won't tell you then.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Certainly. have you had a chance to meet Nick Bradbury yet?
I haven't. We've emailed many times. I've come to like Nick from emailing him and reading his weblog. So I'm eager to meet him at Gnomedex.
And I would say he's probably... I don't want to say dark side, light side of the force. He would be your, like, a bizarro world. He's your bizarro Superman. So, Nick Bradbury, Brent Simmons, you know, this, like...
I certainly feel that way a little bit. He does a lot. You know, he and I do very similar things.
But you're not...
Until recently, we're, you know, small shops, you know, turnout software.
So, what do you think of that acquisition? Of course, NewsGator purchasing, really buying Nick... Or the software that Nick has built and
Nick's
talent.
I think it's both. I think Nick's got a great talent, and whatever they paid, they probably got the better side of the deal because his talent is really extraordinary. I've used FeedDemon when my Windows machine actually still worked, and I thought it was fantastic.
So it doesn't work anymore. You don't even know if it works anymore.
I turn it on, and seriously, it just says Windows 98. You know,
that's your problem. Come on, that's the equivalent of, like, System 8, you know, for...
But how did it stop working without me doing anything?
Because it's Windows. You've got to understand.
Well, see, that's what I say, though. Yeah. If it actually sits there and rots while it's turned off, even... That's bad. Now, it's a dual boot machine.
It could be hardware,
too. I can
too.
Boot into Linux still.
Oh, so Linux works. Yeah. Just Windows doesn't.
Yeah.
So maybe there's been some sort of like creep in the drive, and the drive needs to be defragmented or something on the Windows side.
You downloaded a virus. Are you not familiar with this being in the Mac world so long that you don't have spyware? Or
Virus.
You know, it's what
doesn't
Mac
ring a bell.
Charges you for, like, for the .Mac service.
And what's
so that
thing
you can
said about spies?
Hey, now...
I like spy novels.
Wait a minute. Now, what do you... you heard about this exploit, quote-unquote exploit with the dashboard in Tiger.
Yeah, but it's not quite an exploit, though.
What is it?
What was the deal? The deal was that a widget can be automatically added to your list of widgets, but it's not automatically installed, so it doesn't actually automatically run. It's just that when you click a link or whatever, it's added to your list of widgets. So it's a potential... it's no different than downloading a piece of software, though. If you download any application, it's on your hard drive. It's not doing anything until you run it. Once you run it, it could do anything.
Is that potentially scary? You think you were going to see any widget scanners at some point, like widget services?
We haven't seen people putting regular applications that are doing anything malicious. So I don't really expect that widgets will either.
Are you widgetizing NetNewsWire?
We may do some widget things. It's not going to become a widget or anything.
Sure.
But
well, I wouldn't imagine it devolving to the point where we're just a widget now.
Just a little thing. We may do a couple widgets to give you some interesting views of the news or something like that.
But it's not necessarily on your dashboard, so to speak.
That's right. It's not at the top of the priority list. Yeah.
What is at the top of the priority list, or is that like trade secret? You're going to kill me after you tell me.
Kill you and everybody listening, I suppose.
That might be tough.
It's going to take some time.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Do you need the IP logs for that?
We know
actually,
some people.
having just released, we're looking at the huge amount of feature requests we get, and of course our own ideas about what's next, and figuring it out.
You know, so are you getting exactly. a bunch of feature requests now that 2.0 is shipped? Are you getting all these? Well, this is great, but...
Yeah, we get feature requests all the time, yeah. Including the day we ship, the day after, the day before, yeah. So
that's always nice.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We like what you're doing, but we want more.
We want more. But see, that's a good thing.
Though. That is a good thing. Yeah. That is a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
When the people stop asking for more features, that's when
they don't care.
You know you've perfected it, or they don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple has had a history of, you know, seeing something that, or you know, they'll never, I don't think, come out and say this, but seeing something interesting that's going on, and then kind of take it in-house. So, for instance, I can think of a couple of really cool applications in recent years that kind of got emulated, so to speak. You might remember Watson.
Very well, yeah.
I loved that. That was another one of the programs I asked the developer, port it to Windows! And he said, well, if you had, you know, I can't remember how much development dollars he needed. I'm like, you know why? Unfortunately, I'm not a Mac shareware developer, so I don't have access to those kind of funds.
I've given that exact same answer. People ask me to port it to Windows. I say, well, if you give me $500,000, I will do it.
Yeah, exactly. He apparently, that was purchased by Sun, Watson was, the code, and it's not reappeared anywhere.
It's probably been tabled forever.
Which is very, very
It'll
sad.
Show up on Spark.
But Apple had really done that with their Sherlock product. They kind of put Watson, not out of business, so to speak, but really, I guess, cut into their business with that developer being, you know, primarily a Mac shareware developer, feeling slightly slighted. And then recently, of course, with the dashboard as we're speaking, you tap F12, you get all these little mini apps, and Confabulator being a prime practical example of something that people were using up until that point to have these widgets right there on the desktop. Apple kind of came in and kind of swept it.
iTunes was an acquisition.
They were an acquisition as well. But what, you know, now that Safari has got support for RSS, which is very slick. I mean, I've got to admit, what Apple did with Safari's support of RSS was really cool. They also, though, made it easy to register programs in the list so you can use Safari for RSS or any other registered app on the system for RSS. Do you see that as a threat for your possible future, Apple coming in and developing an application much like NetNewsWire?
I don't think they're going to do something that's much like NetNewsWire. I think what they've done in Safari is what they wanted to do. They'll probably add features to it, and you know it'll evolve over time. But I think this is probably what they wanted, and I don't expect, you know, a separate RSS application from Apple. And what they've done in Safari has been like a gift to us. It's just one person called it the Safari RSS halo effect. And we saw when Tiger came out that, you know, NetNewsWire gets even more attention than it did before, because people are they're learning about RSS for the first time. And so they're also looking at, you know, the other aggregators. And Safari has also made it very easy to subscribe to feeds, where before it was always a kind of a weird pain. Now Safari puts up a nice friendly button. You click on it, you subscribe in NetNewsWire or whatever aggregator you have. And, you know, that's just wonderful. That's something we couldn't, since we don't write the browser, we couldn't control that. We couldn't make that happen. But Apple could and did. And, man, that's fantastic.
Have you known anybody on a personal level who has been kind of undercut by Apple?
Let's see. Dan Wood, the Watson developer, I've met him a few times.
Corellia, was that the name of the
Corellia
website?
Software, yeah, absolutely. I've never met the Confabulary folks, so I've emailed with them a few times.
They just released 2.0 today for both platforms. Yep. In fact, I think they saw the writing on the wall, which is one of the reasons why I think they released a version for Windows just a few months ago.
So is the Windows version less of a memory hog now?
I think it's just as resource intensive, or intense, I should say.
Because the fact that I have to have a separate gig of RAM makes it less attractive.
Well, fundamentally, though, even on OS X, Apple, the way they designed Dashboard, did it in a far more, not necessarily just elegant way, but system-wide elegant way, as in it's friendlier with the resources than Confabulator is. So in what I've heard about version 2.0, because it doesn't come with a README, and right now the website is very stark. It's like it says, download the Windows client or download the Mac client. But from what I've heard, it's just they made it easier to create widgets with like daughter windows and whatnot, but nothing in terms of increasing the performance at this point. So I think they're relying on the momentum of not only being cross-platform, which is very, very cool for someone who lives in a cross-platform world here, but also I don't know. I lost my thought there. I wanted to say a but also, but it just it disappeared into whatever I had for dinner tonight, the pizza. It's like, so what? You wanted a pan pizza, and I'm just not used to that much grease, so now I'm slowing down.
Oh.
It's good for you.
What, slowing down or
no,
pizza?
Grease.
Oh, okay, grease. Well, it is the word. That's what they tell me.
That's what I've heard.
So, you know, you're going to continue down this path. You've released now a second standalone application. Mm-hmm. What else, has interested you or has come across your radar that says, "Wow, I've got to develop that," or "I really want to develop that," either for your need or mm-hmm. somebody else's.
I keep wanting to develop a really great terminal app that just does everything I want because I spend a lot of time there. Now, people who use terminal a lot are probably not people who want to spend very much money on a even cooler terminal app than what they already have. So I'm
that's not,
not
necessarily true because, like, in the Windows world, I think that that's actually one area where people are more likely to spend money as a way to replace the command line that's there.
Yeah,
because
it's sure.
Because the command line that Microsoft provides is pretty horrible.
Yeah, the one that Apple provides is okay though, and there are free ones that are okay too.
And you've got your different shells.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just want to do a terminal app with tabs and some various niceties, but. I can't afford to. I mean, it's just not economic.
You mean time-wise?
Yeah, time-wise. Yeah.
You don't see that market as
growing market. I don't see that as making enough money.
Because your target market would probably be developers and maybe sysadmins.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You were asking today specifically about Darwin ports and Fink.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only used Fink in the past, and I didn't even know about Darwin ports until you mentioned it.
Hmm.
I tried Fink a couple years ago, and I haven't really touched it since, but it was really, really – it was very cool. But the problem was I don't think it was very user-friendly, as far as, letting me have access to that wide library. Once I got it set up, it was somewhat okay, but interfacing with it, if you get it set up right, it works fine. As long as you understand the nuances of what exactly Fink is, mm-hmm. then I'm sure you'll be pretty happy with it. Mm-hmm. Are you looking just to kind of try it, or – are you looking to develop something for it?
I'd actually installed Fink once before.
How long ago?
On a test machine, I don't know, 3 months ago or something like that. And it worked out fine. But then I was looking at Darwin ports, thinking, this might be good. And, it's just because I found myself the other day downloading, the source for a few different apps I use, compiling them and everything, and thinking, there's probably an easier and quicker way, so I don't have to go through this every time I upgrade my system or whatever.
I think the neatest application I found on Fink was... I just get the kicks out of the smallest things, was it was like a ASCII art, like in a terminal window, and it was fire. So it was like, do you know which one I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that.
There's
that
one
sounds great.
It's in the repository, apparently, where you can just run fire or whatever. And then in a terminal, it's like fire, like flames. Uh-huh. I mean, it's like black and white. It's not like fancy. It's straight ASCII. But I was just like, wow, that is so cool. And, this is the whole reason why I bought a $10,000, $1,000 Mac.
A $10,000 Mac?
No, $1,000. I told you, dude. The grease went straight to my head, dude.
You got like the X-Serve with a full RAID array?
Yes. I can't browse the web fast enough.
You're going to cache the entire web in your house?
Yes, naturally. So let me ask you this. You obviously develop OS X, and you live in NetNewsWire, I'm assuming.
Well, except when I'm actually programming, in which case I live in Xcode, which is a development environment.
Is that released by Apple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What other apps from OS X do you run, either semi-regularly or regularly?
Let's see. I run BBEdit as a text editor, right. Wonderful text editor. I've been using that for, must be getting close to a decade now, so we're longtime friends. For email, I use MailSmith, also by the BBEdit guys. Transmit is an FTP program. Let's see.
So not Fetch.
No, I used to use Fetch back in the OS 7 days, and I always loved that little
the dog,
the patch.
Fetch, it's just so cool.
It is a much slower client than Transmit at this point, though. At least, I don't know, because I had a version of it, at least up through, like, 10.2, and I would occasionally, like, try it out, and I'd be like, this is just so slow. I don't know, just the whole experience, they didn't seem like they did a very good port.
So what about other applications, fun applications?
Fun?
Don't just sit there and tell me that you're just like no.
Okay. He never had fun until he got your PSP.
Let me preface this, folks. Like minutes before we're coming on here, I was telling Brent that I sold my GameCube and the Game Boy Advance and the PS2 and a handful of games just to get the PSP. And this happened just this past week. And I said, have you seen the PSP? He's like, no, not really. So I said, you got to see this. And I turn it on and I start playing Wipeout Pure, which is like a space race kind of game. I'm like, look at this. And I couldn't see his eyes, but I could feel his eyes like glued to the screen. Like, oh my God. So like here, so in the middle of the game, I'm like, here, try it. You know, here's the controls, just kind of basic. And I just left him there. And then I walked into the other room. I was like, okay, we got 30 seconds left, and he's still playing it. I'm like, Brent. He's like, oh my God. He could feel his productivity getting sucked away into this little machine.
So apparently, you're stopping at Best Buy on the way home.
No, actually, I have his in my pocket.
No, great. It does fit in the pocket. Yeah. I haven't tricked it out yet, so there's no expensive memory stick because you can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, the largest memory stick I could find when I purchased mine before I took it back was a 512 stick.
I had to order on chumbo.com. I got a pretty good price on a Gigabyte Duo. I got about it for about $100.
That's a good price.
Came across pretty well. I don't know when it's going to be delivered, you know, because they're such an...
Sad that you can get a gig of compact flash for like $50, but...
Yeah, I hate Sony for that very reason. So, don't tell me that you don't have anything fun on your system.
Sure, I have two games that I adore.
Chess
doesn't
count.
They're kind of old school. Chess is not one of them. Chess is probably on there, I guess.
Calculator. If you tell me Calculator, I'll kick you in the shin.
Maelstrom.
Okay.
Classic Asteroids-like thing. I've been playing that for years and can't get enough of it. I mean, I have to stop for 6 months and go back to it, but...
Does it have the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-
You idiot.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like, also, what was that? There was a version of Tetris, Wesleyan Tetris, back in the Mac Classic days. Mm. That would swear at you when you did stupid things.
The other game I have is a version of Tetris called Quinn, which is just, it's fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that still around, Quinn? I mean, probably. Yeah. As in, you could download it, because I love Tetris.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I love Tetris.
Yep.
And that was one of the things that drew me to the PSP, because there's a game called, and I don't know how to pronounce it officially, but like Lumens or Lumines, that it, apparently just people are just like loving it. People who love Tetris love this new version.
Oh.
It's not like Tetris, but it's very styled like it. So it consistently gets high ratings from the reviewers and the fans. So I picked that up, and I have not yet played it because I'm afraid that it's I can just hear when you that should be the boot up sound, because that's your time just going away.
Right.
And there are things that the PSP, you know, does. I mean, yeah, you can listen to music and videos, but they're not very. You can tell it's a gaming system. It's not. They didn't think, you know, that.
There's no hard drive.
Yeah, there's no hard drive. It's just the software isn't that strong. The games are just amazing, and as long as you use it for that or want to use it for that, then everything else is kind of
playing
ancillary.
Videos though worked really really well.
Because,
I mean,
videos,
I did go through all that before I took mine back, because I realized that my productivity would be gone forever if I kept it.
Yeah, it does amazing. The videos on there that I've seen are just absolutely amazing, and you know it. But anyway, so not to suck away your whole productivity by introducing you to the world. Sorry, Sheila.
Yeah.
For, you know, pulling into this. But the nice thing is you can play wirelessly. So there are games that are, like, tons of games that are enabled to play over.
So we have to buy two of them now.
Yes, you have to buy two of them.
Okay.
And then you can still interact.
And I still think Sony sucks. So don't understand that. You know, I'm not pimping Sony or anything. The game system is just absolutely blew me away. You know, some of the, and we were discussing this before the show as well, there are a few applications that have just, you know, just amazed me. And usually very seldom. Do you find really outstanding applications on Windows? I mean, ones that you just want to tell everybody about. There are very few. Like, one of which was Picasa. It's just kind of like an iPhoto clone for Windows. It's the closest thing that we have. Now, Google owns it, and it's free. It used to be a shareware product, but it was a great photo manager that Windows really didn't have. We didn't have a really true iPhoto equivalent. So there are very few products out there that really are very unique and very great. But there are just a couple that I've noticed in just recent, just since acquiring this new iMac, you know, kind of reinvestigating the world of OS X and the great software that's available, because there is. I mean, it used to be an argument. Mm-hmm. You remember this argument, like, well, you don't want Macintosh because they don't have any software.
Right.
That's,
sure.
That's not the case. I really don't think that's the case. In fact, I think there's far better software.
I don't think
for
that
OS
ever
X.
Was the case. That was just a lame argument because you didn't have like 30 MP3 tag editors. You only had like three.
Well, sure. It's not just.
And there's certain niches that were never. You know, never filled because it wasn't economic.
But yeah. People map, also but. See when they go to like, well, now CompUSA, they walk in and they see the Apple corner and they see, well, here's a mouse and it costs twice as much as this mouse. Why? You know, and they don't.
But the Microsoft mice work with.
I guess no. The Kensington one I just picked up, the wireless Kensington, it operates on like what is it? Quick RF. It doesn't have a scroll wheel. It's got a scroll pad. And it takes like double.
How does
a
that scroll? Do you like
the
scroll pad?
It's seriously very cool. And stylistically, it works with either a Windows machine or it's specifically developed for the Macintosh.
Now, Brent, are you a one button mouse guy, or do you actually have like a?
No, he's not. I can tell you that.
What do you think?
I'm guessing no, because I don't think that anybody that's like a power user can handle one button. But I could be wrong.
I've got two buttons and a scroll wheel. Yeah. It's a Logitech, I think. It's not wireless, but it's cool.
Yeah,
wireless is kind of overrated in a lot of ways.
I wasn't that thrilled with wireless, but then recently I picked up the new iMac G5, and you probably didn't catch the story, but I basically felt slighted because I bought a quote-unquote new iMac, and then like that Tuesday, Think Secret comes out and says, guess what? They're releasing new iMacs. I'm like, what the son of a... No, I just bought mine. I have a new iMac. You can't come out with a new iMac. Then I called the store and they restocking and all that crap. But so I you know went through this whole process. Well, the older new iMacs that were you know the 20-inch flat screens came mm-hmm. with Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, and I was like, well, that's cool. And that's one of the things that kind of drew my fiance into it, saying, yeah, she really likes that wireless. She doesn't like a lot of cables and cords. Mm-hmm. And I picked up this new one, brought it home. I was actually with a friend of mine. He was visiting. He was in town and. Hadn't seen Tiger on a newer system. Had only seen it on an older system, and he's a Windows developer, a Windows guy, and he wanted to see it. And so we were kind of excited, like, you know, setting it up. And they told us at the store, but I didn't realize it was going to be as bad as it was, but the newer iMacs don't come with Bluetooth wireless keyboard and mouse.
Oh.
They have a Bluetooth card, but they don't have the wire. And I just, yeah. It seems like a step backwards, but they did
That's
it
where they saved
save
the $100.
Money. Yeah, they did it to save money. Sure. Well, here's the issue. My arm is longer than the USB cable for that keyboard.
Right.
And you've got you have short arms.
And I'm a midget, guys. I mean, for everybody who hasn't seen me, I'm just like, I'm a dwarf here. So, and I realize it's not very politically correct. I'm sorry. So, but anybody who knows me knows I'm very much not politically correct. So I go to plug it in. I'm like, it doesn't reach. I'm like, dude. It's like, I don't know what the hell Apple was thinking. It's like, they couldn't have saved that much money by making it, you know, 2 feet shorter.
If you're
going to
buy an
been.
iMac, you're not going to have a keyboard tray. That was their thinking.
Yeah.
And I've got a white desk upstairs. I mean, very aesthetically, it matches, it works, and all that. But I couldn't plug in the keyboard other than having it sitting up, and I had to get basically a USB extender that I had down here, sure. But then felt like it took away from the experience. And then I had a Microsoft mouse sitting next to it, and it took away from the experience because aesthetically, it was like seeing it was half of it. Mm-hmm. And I started to understand more and more when I went to upgrade the RAM. When the first iMac G5 that I got, I'm unloading on you just because I don't have many Mac friends.
This is the reason he doesn't have many Mac friends.
Right, because I unload on him. Every time I see him. I unscrew the thing, and I don't know if you've seen inside the iMac G5, but I said, well, I needed to upgrade the RAM, and I needed to put an AirPort in the older G5s. And I do it, and I'm actually looking at my laptop, looking at PDFs, making sure I'm doing it right. All right, I'm doing it right. And as I go to put the cover back on, it's got instructions right there. In the back of the hardware has got, like, here's RAM. Here's where you put it. Yeah.
Which a lot of good that did you when you took the cover off and downloaded the manual.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, who would do that? What kind of engineer would do that? How do Apple people think? How do they think of all the things that nobody else thinks about? How do they do that? How do they pull that off? And is it really worth the premium?
I don't know how they pull it off. Sure, it's worth the premium.
Why?
Just because you don't want mediocrity. You just don't. Life's too short.
Is that a philosophy then, or
no? It's just the answer.
It's just it. So you pretty much that's it. There's no argument. There's no leeway there.
Yeah.
And that is that one of the reasons why you've stuck with I guess Apple as a philosophy or as a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, it can be hard to explain. There are certainly a number of years where Macs pretty much just bit. But at the time, you know, we were looking forward to something in the future that we thought would be better, had good reason to expect would be better.
Okay,
and
so
we were right.
When did they bite? Which, of course,
say,
is
eight years.
That's yeah. eight times a bit. So.
Yeah. I would say Mac OS from 7.5 through to the end of the 9.
Why?
Period. It was an aging operating system that just got creakier and creakier. It started to look a little nicer at some point, but some nice features were added, but you know, the machines crashed too often.
And a lot of the systems started to look like IBM clone systems.
Sure.
With the beige boxes and the square boxy edges. And
mm-hmm.
So you think Jobs saved the company?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt.
Have you met Jobs yet?
I have not, no. Right.
He hasn't invited you, flown you out to
nope.
the Jobs estate or anything?
Nope.
Well, I've met him in person. Everything they say about him is absolutely true. So, and I did. I actually, when I bought my first iMac, I didn't get a picture, but I did. He was actually in the Palo Alto store.
Was he wearing a black turtleneck?
No, he wasn't. He was naked. apparently, he's a nudist. And he doesn't share that information, thank God.
I heard a rumor about that, though. Yeah.
Have you had a chance then to dive into some of the newer features of Tiger? For instance, the triple three-way iChat. Now you can have menage a trois in the.
I haven't done the menage a trois iChat yet. Yeah.
We tried to get it. I had a friend, David Geller, who's also in town. He said, "Hey, do you have it on?" I'm like, "Sure." And we go to try to start it, and we couldn't get it. We couldn't like have a three-way. We felt kind of
slighted. But that's only two people.
No, it was like it was David, myself, and then I guess a third party somewhere else in the galaxy. But I haven't met someone yet who's made that actually work.
Oh,
but
were you able to get two going?
No, we couldn't.
So you probably have NAT issues.
No, he had one on. We could do one on one, but
you could do two people, but not three.
And it may have been a network issue as well. That was the one thing that I had an issue when I set it up originally. I didn't have a wired connection. I was just using a wireless G network. Mm. And in stepping through it, it was very cryptic. Like, it just Apple assumes that you've got an airport. And if you don't, you know, sorry, I don't know what to do. And the problem is that I don't have an airport. And so the way I was transmitting data, I needed to change it on the router in order for OS X to pick it up. So it was just a slight bit of troubleshooting.
Oh, okay.
So that was really the only set of problem that I had with it. Other than that, it was just like, wow, it was completely amazing. And I've been impressed with OS X as well since it was released.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, you know, your dark years.
They weren't good. Yeah.
I just kind of laughed. I said, you know what, your icons look cool, but sorry, that's just not going to win me over.
Yeah, sure. And at the time, I was using Linux quite a bit. And as part of my job, I had to do Windows development also. So I was a very cross-platform guy in those years.
So you did dual booting or any virtual machining?
Dual booting mainly, yeah. I tried virtual PC way back in the 90s. It didn't quite do it. Maybe it's really
pretty good now.
Now I hear it's going to get even better with the next version for OS X because, as I said, Xbox is now running on a G5 type of processor,
right.
Or a G5 type of processor.
Mm-hmm.
So the team who worked on the Xbox 360 UI is going to be sharing apparently a lot of their tips and tricks in elements with the virtual PC team,
cool.
making it an easier way to work or better way. So the next version of virtual PC for the Mac is probably going to be light years beyond what it is today, as well as light years beyond what it is on the Windows platform. So yeah, I believe you have some good things coming. If you would ever want to run, you know, Linux inside a virtual PC or Windows, you know, I mean, if you
well, occasionally I have to, you know, launch VDaemon so I can see if Nick's come up with any good ideas that NetNewsWire users might like
every once in a while. Now you've of course pretty much from day one you've got two versions of the product. You've got Lite and then you've got the regular.
Mm-hmm.
And if I misread that, but on the website it seemed that only the Pro or the the
full version.
Full version yep. supports podcasting.
That's correct.
Is there a reason why you did that?
Because people really like podcasting, and they would, you know, pay to have the feature.
Smart.
Yeah.
What other features come in the, I guess, registered version over the free version?
Let's see. There is an embedded browser, tabbed browser, so you can open web pages directly in that newswire. There is searching. There's smart lists, which is like smart playlists in iTunes, like that idea. A ton of other things.
Yeah.
A lot of different layout options. Let's see. What am I forgetting, Sheila? Anyway, those are some of the highlights, yeah.
She's still eating pizza, I think. Yeah. She can't talk right now. So you've got 2.0 out the door. Any immediate bug fixes you're looking to issue?
We'll do a 2.0.1, which will just be about bug fixes. There's nothing urgent that we have to do something this week or even next week. But, yeah, we're working on it.
Do you think you've got the other aggregators kind of on the run, or is it a pretty level playing field at this point?
From the statistics we've seen, it looks like NetNewsWire has a really huge market share compared to other aggregators. I know that
NetNewsWire is one of the few aggregators that actually shows up like in my weblog stats. Mm. And I don't know if that's just because nobody else is actually tagging their app to send that feedback, but I think most of them use the user agent field.
You know,
I mean, I do also see FeedDemon and I think NewsGator shows up too. But I mean, in terms of like if I look statistically, the only Mac client that shows up is NetNewsWire.
Sure.
Does that make you happy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's the weirdest place you've seen NetNewsWire show up? Either in someone mentioning it or just happening to run across it somewhere, like you walk through a Starbucks, you see someone using NetNewsWire.
Wow. Let's see. Mostly we see it mentioned online because I don't walk through Starbucks every day. And we were just stunned and pleased the other day when Walt Mossberg mentioned that it was his favorite Mac client.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's gotta be nice.
That was a good day. Jumping up and down.
Wow.
Know, it was, yeah, that was really cool.
Now, who's Walt?
Walt Mossberg?
I'm kidding.
The man. The legend.
And apparently he is, in spite of his sort of sometimes cluelessness about new technology, apparently if he gives something his blessing, that tends to actually do a lot more than probably just about anybody else on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got email from people telling us exactly that at that time. Like, dude, did you see this? Yeah, we saw it.
What? See what? So it's almost like the equivalent of getting slashdotted, almost.
Yeah. It's probably better than getting slashdotted.
Well, it's got more credibility, obviously, than a slashdot thread.
So is that quote like plastered like in big print on your website? Then?
It's not, but it probably should be.
It should be.
Yeah. It will be.
It will be.
It will be.
It will be. It will be.
That's a very Yoda line.
It will be.
They, it's an interesting evolution, you know, to see where RSS has gone from the days that at least I started really getting interested in it, which is right around the same time that NetNewsWire was developed and unleashed. So I've been around and inside it for a while as well, noticing that a lot of the referrer logs were half the traffic that we were getting was through a news aggregator. Mm-hmm. It was pulling a feed, and I was just like, whoa, what the hell? I was like, what is this? Huh? That's when the light bulb went off for me. Where do you think, this is going, this whole space of content? You know, obviously podcasting is there now and, you know, mm-hmm. audio stuff. And of course, that doesn't mean that every podcast that's out there is worth listening to. In fact, I'd say 90% of it is not.
Well, and 90% of blogs aren't worth reading either.
Yeah.
That's the nature of all, like, published formats.
Content,
yeah. Well, television, certainly. Movies, yeah.
Are there things that you see on the horizon of syndication, data syndication, from just individuals, the non-Walt Mossbergs?
Mm-hmm.
Or are there things that you wish it could do that it does not, syndication in general?
Well, one thing I think we'll see more of is video. The tools are still kind of getting there. It's harder to produce, a video podcast or whatever.
Do you watch Rocket Boom?
No.
You should. It's in rocketboom.com.
I watched one episode the other day. I was like,
It's like anything else. It's not consistently on every day.
Maybe I caught an off day.
You may have caught an off day, but I mean, it is, it's sort of an anchor desk style, show that sort of gives news of the web. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of it is very blog centric news of the web. So if you're familiar with all of like sort of A-list bloggers or whatever, names filter to the top. And it's very entertaining. There are days when it's not funny at all, but it's only like about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes long, so it's not like a massive time investment. And the thing that made me think of that is the other day there was this mention of Bill Gates doing a podcast supposedly at this the mobile developers conference that was just recently held, and it was a video. With Pete Grundle, who is from Microsoft Video Productions. And Bill actually calling it a podcast in this video, and then it cuts to Amanda, who does Rocket Boom, saying, "Can you really call it a podcast when it's in Windows Media format and it's video?" And then at the end, it was beautiful because they bring on this clip of Bill Gates that probably was from around the time that the first Mac launched. I don't know for sure when it was, but I mean, he looked very young. Mm-hmm. So I would assume that it was like probably the mid 80s time frame, and saying that to release a machine and really make a difference, you have to do something truly elegant and different with it. And the best thing that he had seen was the Macintosh.
I think that was one of the scenes that actually made it in Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
was that? I think it was that scene or that particular conference or speech. Had you seen Pirates of Silicon Valley?
Yeah, that was a TV movie.
Yeah,
right?
It was a couple years ago.
Noah Wyle and stuff.
Anthony Michael Hall, Wyle.
That's right.
Yeah, and
Anthony Michael Hall. Boy, I loved him in The Breakfast Club.
He was great as Bill Gates, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was.
I haven't really gotten into the whole Dead Zone thing on USA.
Dead Zone's one of my favorite shows.
Really?
I think it's fantastic.
I'm more of a Monk kind of guy.
I watch Monk, too.
You're a Monk fan?
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, Sheila as well.
Yeah.
See, I just can't deal with Monk fan. I can't deal with the massive amounts of commercials on USA.
Really? Yeah. It's not that bad. I guess I record everything though on the Media Center. So yeah. Now, what about you? Do you have ITV or do you have a TiVo or any type of PVR?
VCR.
What?
We use tapes.
The hell is wrong with you, dude?
I don't know.
Dude, okay, folks, everybody out there in OS 10 land, you must register a copy of NetNewsWire just so that these poor folks, they've been struggling. They're living in Ballard. And Ballard's not quite Seattle, guys. So they're living in Ballard. Help them move to Seattle. Help them increase their lifestyle because they're big in a lifestyle. You know,
it's all lifestyle.
Maybe we should put out a call to everyone to just send them a TiVo.
Yes, just send Brent a TiVo. Buy him. You like the software? Forget about registering. Just send him a PVR.
I mean, you're concerned about UI and elegance. The TiVo is the Macintosh platform of the PVR world at this point.
And it's not perfect. It's not 100% perfect, but. Once you're able to time shift that tapes, please.
Tapes, yeah.
No, dude, come on. Oh, no, wait. You know, if you would have said, no, we record to DVR, a DVD, then I could understand. Well, I'm sorry, what was that, Sheila?
It's retro.
No, VCR right now, we haven't hit retro yet. If you said 8-track, then you're
beta. Very, if they had beta,
yeah,
that
beta,
would be retro.
That's retro. Yeah. Right now, VCR is just antiquated, and there's a difference between retro and antiquated. You must. If I beg of you. I beg you.
You know, we probably wouldn't have a DVD player if Mom hadn't got me one.
Oh, Brent, you're shattering your image here, dude. Come on. Yeah, like everybody was just like Brent. They were cheering you. Yeah, Brent. And all of a sudden, just the crowd just went silent. Just hush fell over the crowd.
We need a record scratch.
Yeah.
What's that?
Did you tell them about the books?
Oh, books. What about books?
I own many books. Yeah, actual paper.
Yeah, my fiance loves paper as well. I think she's insane. Do you use Delicious Library?
No.
You don't.
No. It's a beautiful application.
Yeah,
absolutely stunning.
I found a Windows equivalent called.
Well, it's almost an equivalent.
Well, it's the closest thing Windows has, but there is something that works very similar on the Windows platform called MediaMan or iMediaMan.com. But it's just, why wouldn't you use something? If you've got so many books, why wouldn't you use something that would allow you to organize them visually on your computer?
But why would I want to organize them visually?
Because it's cool, dude. The hell, are you? I'm sorry. This is a guy who just I work in FTP program all day. I like using FTP. You just use it for that's your fun. Is you my, use FTP?
My fun is programming. Really, that's,
you really
I love to
you program that much though. I mean,
well,
really?
Yeah. There's no way all this is getting done if I don't spend a lot of time at it.
How many revisions of one were there? Like NetNewsWire.
1.0 through 1.0.8.
So there are about 7 or 8 revisions
mm-hmm.
in between. So every day you wake up, I mean not every day assuming, but your routine is you're looking at the code you've already written or you're responding to email. What does a typical day look like?
The day begins with the coffee.
He rewinds the VCR.
Yeah.
Rewind the VCR, watch Monk or whatever.
Nut.
Usually my mornings are email and news. So I'm using my email app and NetNewsWire. And afternoons are programming. Then evenings, depending, will be programming too.
It's a pretty boring day.
Nah, it's a wonderful
day. So wait, maybe you can save yourself. Do you at least BitTorrent?
No,
but as soon as he gets his PSP, he'll be downloading movies off of BitTorrent and putting them on memory sticks.
I guarantee it. Azurius.
I hate to be all Amish,
No. Even the Amish don't use VCRs. I mean, you're beyond Amish. So they refuse to because their God won't let them.
That's a very
religious thing. No, I really don't know anything about the Amish. No more than I know anything about little people. Mm. So you've got your day is programming.
Well, yeah.
You have no other hobbies other than reading, then?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's all I'm getting then. So apparently they're into this bondage thing they didn't want to go into, but he's turning red now. I'm kidding. He's turning blue. Actually, I've cut off his circulation. So, yes, I'll save you from me, as it were. You weren't expecting that kind of question, were you? This is the Jerry Springer of the internet, by the way. Yes, we've got a Steve in the other room ready. If you guys start going at it, we're here to introduce you to my lover. No, she IM'd me, so I don't know if she was listening, but usually. She stays with her aunt and uncle across. They live in Bellevue, and she just got a. She had something done this week, and she's fine. But she IM'd me earlier, and then she wasn't there. So I don't know if she was listening to the caveman comment that I made. I called her a caveman, but
which is safe to do because
she was offended by the Geico commercial.
There's a lake in between them, so he could say that.
Oh, she's probably driving over here right now. It's just to let me know that she heard it. So yeah, she wanted me to wait. She's kind of she can't do much right now. Unfortunately, she's not in a position. But she wanted me to wait to go see Star Wars with her, and I'm just like chomping at the bit. Like you can't do that to somebody. It's just like
you can watch the trailer several times. Maybe you'll get a feel for it.
You know, but
combine all the trailers together in a movie app, and then
you kind of have something. Although I've seen quite a few Star Wars spoofs that have been pretty decent. Someone sent me a link to a QuickTime file called Store Wars.
Store Wars, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Did I forward that to you?
No, I actually saw it through somebody at Inform IT sent it out.
It's like an organic grocery store in like Cuke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Which that's kind of in a way a play on that that one from back. Original.
Hardware Wars?
Yeah, Hardware Wars.
No, dude. Hardware Wars is a classic.
Well, Hardware Wars is a classic. You know,
and I have that, I think, on VHS.
Thumb Wars?
Thumb Wars is another good one. That's on DVD.
Yeah.
And I downloaded that on the net when that first came out. Steve Odekirk, I think, did that. The series. Have you seen Thumb Wars at all?
I don't think so.
And Thumbtanic and the Blair Thumb Project.
Hardware Wars.
Hardware
Wars. I haven't seen Blair Thumb Project, no.
No, it's
Thumb Wars was the only one that was really funny. Yeah. The rest of them were kind of sad.
I've got the series because Odekirk had released it's right in the middle of the shelf. It's like the Thumb Father or the God Thumb. I can't remember what he called it. And he did a whole bunch of parodies and then released them. But the Thumb Wars was just genius.
Thumb Wars is the only one that was really, really
good. It was really good.
Well thought out and all of the jokes were pretty right on.
You actually find yourself laughing out loud like, pa! You know, very good. Ha! So, unlike when you listen to this show.
The Windows Media stream for the live broadcast of the Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.